Welcome to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, and in the studio with me is Crown CEO and the host of Money Life, Chuck Bentley. Chuck, welcome to the program.
Dave, good to be with you, and welcome to all of our listeners. You know how much I appreciate you listening and supporting what we do here. I hope you enjoy the program today.
Well, yesterday you started on a two-part message about getting free from financial bondage or being liberated from financial bondage. And for those people that are listening today who missed our last program, you can go to crown.org and you can hear that program in its entirety. And I'd recommend that you do that because it has some very key information in there that'll be helpful as you listen to today's program as well. But switching to today, Chuck, what are you going to talk about today?
Well, Dave, I'm going to continue in the series of liberation from financial bondage. And I think it's important that we establish a definition for financial bondage. Mm-hmm. Dave, I believe that financial bondage could be defined like this: anything that places money in control of your life. So that covers both extremes, Dave, whether you have a little and it's controlling you because you're just striving for more, or you have a lot and you're striving to either protect it or to hang on to it or to multiply it, but it has a control over your life. Mm. And God did not intend for money to have control of our life. And he says it two different ways. One way, he says, is keep your life free from the love of money, meaning that you can love money in either side of that equation, whether you have a little or whether you have a lot. He also said, keep your hope from being placed in money, your confidence, your trust for the future, your sense of security, because money is a very emotional issue. And in fact, we get emotionally attached to it. I was speaking live recently, Dave, and I held up two sheets of paper. In my left hand was a blank sheet of white writing paper, and in my right hand was a sheet of paper that was green and had a 20 printed on it by the U.S. Federal Mint. And I asked people which one they responded to more favorably, the blank sheet of white paper or the green sheet of paper I was holding up that was, in fact, a $20 bill. Well, it's a huge difference. We respond to it. If I dropped one on the ground, you might not pick it up. The other one, you might jump out of your chair and run and get it in today's economy. So we want to break free of anything that has us emotionally trapped in what we believe about money. In today's program, Dave, we're going to talk about some very practical solutions, whether you may be facing bankruptcy or you're making $250,000 a year and you still feel trapped.
Well, you're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're going to talk about action steps that you need to take to get free from financial bondage. Now, there are many different degrees of financial bondage, and so we're going to cover everything from those who are on the verge of bankruptcy or maybe trying to recover from post-bankruptcy to those who are financially free or wealthy, experiencing a great deal of abundance, but still experiencing financial bondage. And so in this program, you can self-identify. Where are you on this scale? And what do you need to do once you've identified where you are? So let's start with the first one. If you're on the verge of bankruptcy or have just recently filed bankruptcy and are trying to recover, here are the likely symptoms that you're experiencing. You've had to sell all of your personal assets. Possibly you have no credit available to you whatsoever, maybe even for the next 10 years. You may be experiencing emotional symptoms like sleeplessness, depression, feeling overwhelmed, withdrawn, ashamed, afraid, paralyzed, just stuck. Now, if that sounds like you, here's the first action step. Pray and turn to the Lord in regard to your circumstances. Psalm 37:39 says, "The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him." Now, in this condition, many times you feel as if the Lord is so far away and you've gotten yourself in such a terrible mess that He may not even be interested in helping. But what a great opportunity to do something you hear so little about today, and that is to repent. You know, the Bible says that some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So often we've gotten ourselves in financial bondage through being foolish. So turn to the Lord and admit it and repent of it and express to the Lord exactly what it is that you need restoration, not just release from the financial pressure that you're under, but restoration in your own heart. To truly change, to change your mind in such a way that you think differently about money from now on. The second thing is to thank Him for your circumstances. Now, I know that's going to be difficult because we all hate unpleasant circumstances. But when you look at them from God's perspective, He says that He disciplines those that He loves. So you're probably experiencing the loving discipline of the Lord. And third, take responsibility for this problem. Don't assume that someone else is going to bail you out or sit and wait for somebody else to take on your worry or your stress. Cast it upon the Lord, take responsibility, and begin to act upon it. Now, you may need to forgive those who you think maybe have caused this. Maybe it's an employer, maybe it's a creditor, maybe it's a spouse. But whatever conditions led up to getting you in this financial bondage, forgive those people, look beyond those circumstances, and put one foot in front of the other, stop worrying, and create a plan. Now, your plan probably needs to be to reach out to someone else who can help you. Talk to one of our free Money Map coaches. Talk to someone online or set up an appointment with one of them. They're trained to do that, and they want to help you. They're not trying to sell you anything. They just have a heart to serve, and they have wisdom in this area. And they can help you to make a plan so that you can rebuild. You're going to need to repay your creditors. Now, that may sound like a long, impossible journey, but you can do it. Commit to being honest with all of your creditors and walk through this humbly and with integrity. And the Lord says that He will give you hope. You know, our hope is not in our circumstances. It should never be whether they're pleasant or unpleasant. It should never be whether the waters we're in are calm or whether they're turbulent. Hope comes from outside ourselves. It's the constant that we have a Redeemer, we have a Deliverer, that we can turn to Him in the midst of whatever problems we face. And our circumstances don't have to get better to have hope. We can have hope even like Joseph when he was in a prison, or Daniel in a lion's den, or the Israelites when they were taken captive. Hope is outside ourselves. The Lord says that He gives us hope and a future. It's not based upon our circumstances. Now, in Ecclesiastes 5, Solomon told us, "It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it." So if you've made a vow, if you have promised to pay back an obligation, fulfill it. You made that vow. Now, it may have been a bad decision, a foolish decision, but you made the vow. And God will honor your perseverance. He will teach you and grow you and develop you by remaining faithful to what you vowed that you would do. So stay with it. Many people write me right now and ask, "As a Christian, can I walk away from my house?" Well, the answer is no. You should not walk away. Just because you're upside down and you've lost hope that you'll ever be right side up in your house, that's no reason to walk away. Stay with it. Keep your vow. Now, here's another level of financial stress. You're not near bankruptcy, but you're experiencing threatening phone calls. You're getting letters from creditors. Maybe you're having a lot of arguments with your spouse over money. Maybe your credit cards are maxed out. You're making minimum payments. You're juggling credit cards, moving one to the other. Maybe you're having to work extraordinarily long hours or juggle two or three jobs, and you're just constantly behind. You're not depressed, but you feel like there's no way you'll ever overcome this. Okay, here's the action steps you need to take. Like the first one, pray and ask God to intervene. Then I would recommend that you call Consumer Credit Counseling Services. They have a nationwide number. It's 888-771-HOPE. 888-771-HOPE. Now, when you contact them, they will work with you to make a plan to contact your creditors, explain your situation, propose a budget that you can live on, and begin repaying all of your creditors. Now, many people ask, will that hurt my credit rating? Well, yes, it will. But you don't need more credit. In fact, you need to stop digging the hole that you're in, and don't look for credit to bail you out of the debt that you already have. At some point, you have to take the hit, you have to take the pain, and start the long, arduous process of repaying the people that you owe. Now, you may be able to make some more income. It's not just to cut back on your expenses and to live on a budget. But it's possible that you could earn some more money and pay this debt off more quickly. But that's the solution to getting out of financial bondage if you're far behind. Now, there's many more steps, and we're going to talk about some more stressful scenarios and the action items that you need to take. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Fentley. We'll be right back.
Feels like talking to your young child about money just isn't enough. There's a fun, easy, and visual way you can show them how to honor God with their money. The ABC Learning Bank from Crown Financial Ministries. This popular tool goes beyond the traditional piggy bank. Created with three colorful compartments in the shape of letters, the ABC Learning Bank will give your child a fun, hands-on learning experience as they discover that A is for giving, B is for saving, and C is for spending. Imagine them applying that learning for a lifetime. The ABC Learning Bank is recommended for children ages 3 and older. To order an ABC Learning Bank for a child in your life, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. Again, the ABC Learning Bank is available by calling 1-800-722-1976 or visiting crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about different degrees of financial bondage and some of the practical action steps that you can take to solve those problems and to get out of bondage. Here's one that I see more often than any other, and it's simply living beyond our means. About 60% of the U.S. population falls into this category. We're simply living paycheck to paycheck, and our expenses exceed our income. We're only able to make minimum payments on our credit cards. It seems like a complete fairy tale that we would ever be able to pay them all off. We have very little money set aside for emergencies, and we try to keep our cards from being maxed out, and we use that amount for all emergencies if one were to occur. Little or no savings, and continual financial pressure. These are people who are just living close to the edge. In fact, I got a very nice letter from a dear Christian couple who expressed this, and I want you to listen to their situation because it probably accurately defines many of you who are listening right now. Dear Chuck, thank you for your program. I listen via the web. My husband and I have found that the Lord faithfully provides in every way. We're only 27 years old. We've been married almost 5 years. No children yet, and we're currently able to tithe, pay our mortgage. We have one car loan, two student loans, save a little money, and put money away for retirement. However, this summer we find ourselves needing to, one, replace our furnace, and two, possibly replace a sewer line. Now, our current savings will not cover both of these repairs. What do you advise if we just simply don't have enough money? Thanks so much for your time and your wisdom. And this is from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Well, does that sound like you? Now, there's something very subtle about this picture that I want you to think about. They don't believe, this young couple does not believe that they're living beyond their means. But these are normal repairs. Replacing a furnace and replacing sewer lines are basic, normal repairs. But they don't have the money set aside to do it, and they want to know how to finance it. That is a common symptom of living beyond your means. But here's the subtlety. They're also putting money away for retirement. So what they've gotten out of order is they haven't saved sufficient amount of reserves for short-term needs before beginning to put away for long-term. And that's how many of us get into a bind. Because they've set aside money in a long-term account, they can't really get to it without taking a significant penalty. And so they're stuck, and they feel like they're going to have to borrow for these repairs. Well, my answer would be two things. Increase the amount of money that you're saving for short-term and temporarily cease saving for long-term so that you have at least 3 to 6 months of your living expenses set aside to cover emergencies or unexpected job losses. That's very important right now. So it's not just how are you going to pay for this item, but how are you going to pay for all future unexpected expenses if you're living right on the edge or slightly beyond your means. So as soon as you get that money saved, then pay down those loans. Pay off the car, pay off the student loans, and then start to pay off your home before you put money away long term. It is much more important to get your short-term and current needs taken care of than it is thinking about retirement right now, because you're only 27 years old. And if you were to pay off all of your debts, including your house, and go into retirement with very little cash set aside, you would probably be better off than most people who are trying to retire today, who still are deeply in debt and living beyond their means. You simply never can retire if you're living beyond your means. So reprioritize, reset what you value so that you can develop financial margin in your life, meaning you're living on less than you're taking in. Here's a great proverb to remember. It's Proverbs 15:16. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. And if you're living slightly above your means, it will cause great turmoil. I just read a funny quote that reminded me of this. If you don't think small things matter, try sleeping at night with one mosquito in the room with you. In other words, a little bitty thing can cause a great deal of pain. And simply not setting aside enough money for short-term and living beyond your means can be long-term very destructive and very stressful. Now, here's another one, and that's living right at your means. Now, that sounds like everything balances and it's really okay. But in fact, many people who are living right at their means have a lot of worry, anxiety, and fear of the future. And you're consistently concerned, are there any surprises coming my way? Now, if that's you, follow these steps. Pray, turn it over to the Lord, get on a budget now. Stop using any credit cards that you can't pay off in full each month. In fact, I would recommend that you temporarily suspend using them at all and go to a cash system. Begin saving, begin giving, and reducing your overhead so that you can create financial margin. Now, the Proverbs teach us in Proverbs 25:28, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Now, that's a picture of a person who cannot rein in their spending. A city without walls is one that's vulnerable for destruction. It's vulnerable to be destroyed because it has no way to protect itself. Now, the core message of that verse is that financial wisdom comes from within. It's a fruit of the Spirit to exercise self-control. So, if you're on the verge of bankruptcy, you need the fruit of the Spirit to exercise self-control. If you're in severe financial distress, you're living above your means, or you're just living equal to your means, all of those flow from something that is inside of you, which is the lack of self-control. Well, there's two more conditions of financial stress that we want to talk about: living well below your means and living with wealth. That's what we're going to talk about when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley.
What would you say if I told you that in 10 short weeks you could decrease your debt, increase your savings, and strengthen your relationships while growing spiritually? Sound too good to be true? Well, all of these results are being reported by thousands who have completed the Biblical Financial Study from Crown Financial Ministries. This 10-week study teaches you more than practical principles about managing money. It focuses on the life-changing truth of God's Word. Individuals are being transformed as they learn proven biblical principles and how to apply them to their finances. To find a biblical financial study group in your area, go online to the My Crown section of crown.org. And if there's not a Crown 10-week biblical financial study already planned in your area, consider starting one. To find out how, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about the various stages of financial stress, the various degrees of financial stress. And the fifth and sixth levels are people who are living well below their means. Now, they could be characterized as a person who has more income than expenses. They pay their bills on time. They regularly save. Possibly they've done all the things right that I frequently talk about on the program, having 3 to 6 months emergency savings set aside. And possibly you're an adept investor and you're working to get completely debt free. Now, that doesn't sound like a form of financial bondage, but there may be financial bondage in that you've put your security in money. And you live with a great deal of fear that you might lose what you have. And what's really driving you inside is a fear of loss. And so you live meticulously with your life in order. And in fact, you have a tendency to hoard resources. Now, there are some specific action items to counteract that dilemma. If you find that through the years, you've not been growing and increasing in your generosity, you may be in bondage to the fear of being generous, of letting go. So your action item may simply be to grow in your generosity. But if you're being generous as well, and God's given you wisdom in this area, then by all means, please get involved in our ministry. Volunteer to get trained to be a money map coach. Volunteer to lead our seminars. Volunteer to lead a small group study in your church or your business or your apartment complex. Reach out to other people, especially now, who have no hope, because you can minister to them in very real and practical ways. Now, the final step in this progression is being free from financial bondage. You would describe yourself as one who does not worry about debt, your investments, or material things whatsoever. You have plenty of money set aside, and you're using it for God's people, and you're experiencing the joy of the Lord with your mind free from material things, that you simply are living out God's purposes for your life. Well, your action item would be this: come and join us. I want you to join the fight, to get involved in what we're trying to do, to move God's people along this continuum. We need your help. And there are so many ways you can make a difference. And let me challenge you to take this one step. Don't be silent now. Have the courage and the boldness to get involved, to give your testimony, to tell other people of God's goodness, of the difference that He made in your life, of the difference of following God's ways and God's principles versus the world's ways. If you are totally free from the bondage and grip of money in your life, God wants to use your story. I would love to hear from you, and I would love to encourage you to speak frequently about what God has done in your life. Well, I hope you've been encouraged today. I'm Chuck Bentley. You've been listening to Money Life.